Hi and welcome to the very first interview version of Neat Little MacApps. Now, what I'm going to do is that once in a while, I'll be interviewing a developer of an application that I have reviewed or will be reviewing in the future. And for this episode, I had a nice chat with Christopher Forsythe. He's the leading man behind Grawl, the application that I reviewed in the last episode. And we had a very interesting conversation about how he came up with the idea of creating Grawl, how he actually created it. He's got like this whole team behind him because it's an open source application. Anyway, it was a very interesting, relaxing conversation, and I hope you like it. So without further ado, here's the interview. So, Chris, our listeners by now will have heard the whole review, the Grawl review, so now they're probably all experts in using it. But I bet they want to hear a bit more about the man behind this neat little Mac app. Could you tell us something more as means of an introduction to this interview about you, yourself?
Yeah, sure. My name is Chris Forsythe. I work on Windows machines during the day. And at night, I work on Mac, sort of like Batman and Robin type yeah. thing. I'm the project manager for Grawl and Project Lee. Basically, I control what happens with Grawl. I'm the project manager for Adium, and I'm the project manager for Parian. So three different things that a lot of people seem to like.
What's that last one?
Parian. It's a QuickTime component that plays a whole bunch of stuff in QuickTime or QuickTime-enabled applications.
I should check that one out. That's one I didn't see. I missed that one.
Yeah, it's only been out for about a month and a half.
Uh-huh.
If you use VLC, it plays about 90% of the content that VLC plays. It uses the same backend for that content, FFmpeg.
Yes.
Or libav codec.
And I love VLC, so I should definitely check out your application. It's open source also?
Yes, it's GPL.
Great.
We're looking at LGPL for it, but it's kind of complicated. Everything I work on for Adium, Grawl, and Parian is open source. Also, the lead developer on Adium and I are starting a Macintosh company called Salvatore Software, and we're going to be selling a couple of applications there.
And
should be kind of fun.
They will be open source also, or actually true applications that will go on market?
Applications that are open source are true applications in either way, but
yes,
the applications that are going to be from Salvatore are going to be stuff that we're probably going to sell. Like the first application family is going to be something we're going to sell, and then we've got some other stuff after that.
Interesting. I'll keep an eye out for that. So basically, did you came up with the Grawl idea, or is it something that grew from something else? How did you came up with the idea of starting Grawl, or wasn't it you, and was it like a team, or?
It was my idea. It was basically about a year and a half ago, 2 years, I'm sorry, When Grawl first started, it's a couple of years old now. The problem we were seeing with Adium is that the project, the lead developer at the time, had a different view of how notifications should be seen as compared to the guy that was working on notifications. And if you're an old-time Adium user, you'll remember the event preferences, and they were horrific. It wasn't anything bad against the guy that was working on it, and his name is Jorge. The problem is it was limited and the fact that he had to put so much into it to make it look pretty. And then the Colloquy, the IRC client, added a very simple notification system that Adam Iser wanted. Unfortunately, there was a kind of an argument went back and forth, and I was like, I thought that was probably bad. And it came out of that. It just came out of a need that it was half that and half just we kind of just needed this on the platform. There was notifications on Windows called Toast. They weren't very pretty, but they worked, and they were effective. Mm-hmm. Now they're overbearing on Windows, and we've kind of limited that on Grawl as much as possible. It was my idea in a way. I was like, you know, let's just take this further one step and remove the preferences from Adium altogether. Remove the preferences from all these apps and make it one central thing that the user controls, developers hook into, and it works. Right now we have 160 applications using Growl. I think my favorites are the World of Warcraft updater uses it, uses our AppleScript API, and the Yahoo Beta 3 uses it, and Adium. I guess those are my three favorites that use
That
it.
that's really the beauty of Growl is that each and any developer, if he wishes, can just tap into it and use it and get that same streamlined, nice interface, of course. That's something I really dug about that whole application.
Yeah, definitely. There was something called Synergy Advanced, I think, uses Growl specifically for most of its functionality for notifications. It's the Synergy application, the second version of it, basically. And the guy that did it realized, I don't really need to code all this stuff. I already have it with Growl. And he just hooks up from there.
Yeah, great. And could you tell us how long it actually took to get the first, let's say, working application? How long it can be Growl or Adium, it doesn't really matter, but what's the main part of time you have to spend to develop a nice Mac application like Growl?
To get .5 out, which was the initial version we released, it took 4 or 5 months from start to release. After that, I think .6 was a couple months after that.
And that's all behind the scenes work after working hours and stuff like that, or
No, nobody's paid to work on Growl. Nobody's paid to work on Adium either, or Parian. It's all stuff like when I come home, I work on it. On the stuff that I do, everybody works on it in their own way, and it's really taken a lot of effort. We've had about 30 developers come and go through Growl
Yeah, if you think
altogether.
through it, then 5 months really isn't that very long. If you see you get this whole application running out of people who are only working here and there a couple of hours on one app, well, here and there probably long hours, but then that's great. That's a nice.
It's my theory is people don't sleep when they work on Growl. So it's a lot of work and a lot of really dedicated people that work on it.
A lot of listeners probably listen to the Caffeination podcast, probably with a good mug of coffee while working then. Let's talk a bit more about all those applications that tap into Growl. You have any idea about what the adoption rate was? I can figure that in the beginning, when Growl was launched, it was like a small number. And how did that grow? Was that fast adoption? I didn't really follow it from the beginning. I stumbled onto Growl, let's say, a couple of months ago, and I started a podcast, and I noticed that, hey, this application, what are they talking about? Growl, what's this? And then I came to the next application, and then it was, ah, Growl, what's that doing in here again? And so I checked it out. So, but the main adoption rate of applications, what was that about?
Oh, who knows? I was at the C4 conference a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to one of the two ladies or three ladies that actually went to the conference, and she just didn't get why people adopted it for a while. And I honestly don't get it at some point. I use it for only a couple of applications, but it's really just grown from a grassroots. We've had no advertising, we've just had word of mouth, and that's it. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Adium really it distributes Growl with it. So Adium has a much larger user base than what we and other applications that are initially used Growl.
But was there like a specific point in time when you saw a huge jump in applications, or did it all go one application at a time, or is there a specific event that you say, like, when that thing happened, we really got a lot of applications wanting to use Growl? Do you get some? Is it like a request thing? Do they have to request to you how to use it, or it's.
It's we don't. Whenever a developer comes to us and says, "Hey, how do I implement Growl?" We help them in any way possible. So that really helps from that end. If a developer has a problem with Growl, then that really impedes the way it's adopted. From a user standpoint, we only request that a user request Growl an application they're going to use it in, but that they request it wherever possible. So that's kind of helped as well. So if a developer doesn't know about Growl, then they're not going to implement it. And if you use Growl and say you want to add it to, I don't know, fetch, then you've really got to inform the developer of that. I'm not saying go to inform the developer. The developer already knows about it with fetch. but it's not one point in time where I remember us not having mass adoption. Mm-hmm. From the get-go with .5, after with .5 was a package installer, and most of the users did not like that. After we moved to .6, which was it changed from a package installer with a preframe and a framework installed on the user system, mm-hmm. to a preframe that installs on the user system, and the application has to include the framework itself.
Yeah, I like that that way of distributing the most also.
It really picked up because it was easy to install. You didn't have to worry about where everything was going on the system. Developers, the real problem in .5 was some developers did not know how to implement something called weak linking, which would be if the framework is not present, then it tries to call that code, and if the framework's not there and they don't weak link correctly, the application crashes, mm-hmm. Which is bad for kind, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if that happens, then you're not going to get any kind of adoption. So we changed it up. It was a disk space versus crashing, and the obvious choice was we'd rather have disk space removed than crashing. So the framework is as small as it can be, and we try to make it smaller every release or so. But yeah, it's really been more of a, every time we added another language you could talk to Growl with, we saw more applications. Every time we saw a big application, like for instance, Snack implemented Growl, and we saw a big boost of users. And then we saw 3 months, 6 months, 9 months later, those users requesting with their favorite applications. It's really cyclical. I now call our user base our Army of Darkness because they take care of everything for us. And really, they've been really good to us. Most of our users don't actually contact us. But the ones that do have been really nice about everything.
Yeah. I'll have to keep that in mind when I talk about my developer tip. Each app I'll review, I'll add to the checklist, does it have Growl implementation? And I'll blurt it out there so the developer knows that we want it.
Definitely.
This might be a trick question. I don't know if you have a lot of experience in that field, but I'm not talking about your applications. I mean, Growl really is a standard neat little Mac apps, meaning that it has a great user interface, it has great usability and stuff. But is it me, or is it that I find that most of the open source applications out there are ugly?
You're going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, I know. I got myself in trouble by doing the opening show for this application, telling that most of the applications I know of use open source really are ugly, and I'm going to get a lot of mail for that. But I think it's my explanation was that OS X really is a slick, nice looking operating system, in my opinion, and so applications that run on it easily inherit that usability look and feel. But I don't know if you develop a lot of, I suppose Adium and stuff works on a lot of applications, frameworks also, but I have the impression that a lot of applications out there, open source, are ugly. Is that true? Do you see that also a bit, or do you have some explanation if that is true? In my opinion, I think that a lot
of... Are you talking about different platforms, or just Mac platform, or what specifically?
No, not really Mac platform, because you see a lot of applications getting the OS X look and feel, and so they inherited from the system. But all other open source applications that are not Mac related that could be ported to Mac, let's take for example Audacity. I still see that is an open source application. I can see that when they just show me one screenshot and I can tell you, okay, that's open source. Is that only me, or do you have a bit that same feeling about open source applications?
There's actually a pretty good reason with that. Whenever you do something that like Audacity that's cross-platform like that, and it works on Windows and OS X and on Linux, you You give up something, which is you make it work and everything look the same and everything. Azurius, Audacity, a couple of others work pretty well on all the platforms, but you give away the specific platform look and feel. It's not that it's ugly. Instead, it's more of with Adia and with Growl, with everything else, we get Interface Builder, which means we get a lot of stuff for free. And I hate throwing this around. The HIG gives us a lot of stuff too, just from rules and everything that people try to follow. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes when people quote it, they quote it without having ever read 300 pages. but
you're talking about that Apple document?
Yes, there's an Apple document that says how to design your interface, how to space things. You know, this font needs to be 13 pixels. This bar needs to be 12 pixels from this type of bar. Mm-hmm. It's really specific in some ways and really generic in others. And if you look at the other platforms, if say for instance, hold on, my display went dark. say for instance, if you look at Firefox, it doesn't look as good on the Mac as it does on Windows. And a lot of that has to do with just the fact that there's more Windows developers on the Firefox side, I believe. You know, don't take me wrong. If there's more Mac developers, you know, then I'm definitely wrong. But
no, I think you're hitting the nail there.
The other bit is if you want to give it a specific platform, you have to either do the same UI across the board, and then it's not going to look specific to the Mac, or you have to make a UI for each one, which is more difficult for some applications and some developers than others. It's more of a, if you're the developer for an application, you have to weigh the pros and cons, like with everything else. And at the end of the day, is the usability going to be broken by the look, or is it, you know, you just want the application there for the functionality?
Yeah, I must admit, I'm a GUI junkie. So if it has a nice GUI, then I'm already for 50% satisfied. but I'm glad that Growl really fits into the operating system. So the only option for me to have Audacity fit in OS X a bit more would be to start up a whole Mac enthusiast coding group who would make a clean UI from the source code of Audacity, and I think that a lot of open source programmers are already glad when the application works and is out there. Probably,
applications can always be improved, and Adium didn't look like it does for a very long time. It used to be brushed metal, for instance, before we released .5 or .50. In between the time when it was Adium 1.6 dot whatever or whatever to the time where we released Adium X .50, we did a lot of there was a lot of playing around with how the UI should look. It was an entirely new rewrite, and at one point the contact lists sort of looked like a cell phone with the brushed metal. Mm-hmm. And then iChat came out and we couldn't have that. but too much
similarities,
It wasn't the fact that iChat came out that it had to change. I think this was prior to iChat that we actually changed it to Aqua. But still, the point was it just felt heavy. And we changed it to Aqua, and it felt lighter, and it felt easier to use. It was, again, one of those decisions where with brushed metal, you can drag it with any part of the window, but you also have to, at the time, you had to make it have a thick border around it. It was a bigger window, everything else. Everything I hate about iChat. but at the same time, we looked at Aqua and said, you know, this is really where we think we should go. So we changed it there. And that choice wouldn't be as easy for Audacity or as easy for Firefox or any of the other open source applications that work on multiple platforms. Because either you have a separate UI for each system, and then it's harder to change it because you have to update it and you have to make sure it works for every platform, or you use something like WX Widgets, which gives you most of it, but not all of it. And it really, those are going to improve over time, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm going to jump back to Growl for not my last, but closing up, kind of. What was the hardest thing about the whole creation process of Growl or Adium, any app that you worked on? What's the hardest thing you always bump into when you try to create a neat little Mac app?
The users.
That concludes this interview. Thank you, Chris, for talking to us.
No, don't get me wrong. It's you release a 1.0. Say for a shareware application, you would release a 1.0, and it's perfect for you. And then you get 50 users requests and says, we really need this instead. Mm-hmm. And it was perfect for you, and you don't think about those things until you get. And it's really hard to predict what the user needs until you actually get it out in front of the user. That's why with a lot of applications that that I've worked on the open source field, we release it before we think it's 1.0 ready. That way we get user feedback beforehand. If, for instance, we had waited on Adium to hit 1.0 for the new code base, we would have had 1.0 3 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not be ready for simple fact that if we don't have the user base, we don't have more developers join on. If we don't have more developers join on, it makes the development process longer. So it's based on the fact that getting user requests is so difficult, just from a feedback standpoint, getting a good user request is hard compared to getting a user request. So say someone says that, for instance, in 10.2, I don't think anybody has sent a request to Apple says, I want to push a button and all the windows fly around and I can move my mouse around and everything else. But they gave us Expose. And that's really changed the whole system for a lot of people. So I think it really depends on the user request and how you interpret them. So that's really been the hardest bit.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a real pitfall, because I see it a lot of times when I'm reviewing applications or just checking them out to see whether or not I will review them. I noticed that a lot of applications that I knew from the past, like, for example, let's say Transmit, speed download also a bit, that they tend to have to go, that they tend to go to a way that they not really, but they are very close to getting bloated, probably from all the user requests they get, and they just add features on feature on feature. And then I'm like, I kind of liked it when it was doing just that specific thing. And I can imagine it's hard for a developer to stop at a certain point and say, no, this is the function of this application, and I'm not going to add to it, probably.
Well, I think that's two different points altogether. The point of bloat's more of it's a term that people tend to use to say that there's features that they just don't need, whereas most of the user base may need it. Or some of the user base may need it, but usually the developer won't implement it unless they need it. So it's hard to say bloat and more of a, do we really need this feature? And I don't use Transmit, I don't use speed download, so I can't tell you on those.
Just a couple of examples, but I see it. That's one of the developer tips I always give is, okay, guys, this application works. It mainly, or it does what it's supposed to do. And be aware that you don't go and throw all kinds of things in that probably not a lot of people would use. But now that you mention it, it probably is just also a bit me thinking, I don't need this, I don't need this, I don't need this. But the developer must have had a reason to put
right.
it in there.
It's a lot of work to put a function or a feature in, because you have to troubleshoot that, and it could fail, and it could cause your application to crash. So you really have to weigh that against, is it really useful? From that tone, with Adium, we kind of went backwards. We added everything we could possibly think of at first. and we've slowly been pulling things out. With the new 1.0 release we're going to put out pretty soon, it has a lot of stuff removed, and nobody that's tried the beta has really complained except for about one thing. So it's really been kind of eye-opening in a way.
Yeah. Well, that's a way of going by it, of course. I should add a disclosure from now, a disclaimer from now on when I say that this app is a bit bloated. I'll just disclaim and tell them that it's, well, that's just my opinion. Hey, that's an easy solution.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, last question. What do you see in the future? I heard you talk a bit about a new company you would start up with a couple of people. Is there a future pointed out for Grawl, or are you going to throw yourself on other projects? What do you see ahead of you?
The most immediate for Growl is we have .7.5 coming out shortly. .7.4 is universal binary except in one way, and that I forgot to make the Spotlight importer universal binary. So on the Intel Macs, whenever our Spotlight importer runs, which is every time an application registers, the translate process will start up. So you'll have the translate process start up, then it'll go away for a little while, and that sort of thing. So .7.5 will fix that. We're waiting on the server to come back up, so 2 weeks from then, and then we'll have it out.
Is that the web server you're talking about?
The web server, the development server, the
I thought I noticed something yesterday. Like,
yeah,
where did it go?
the problem is the server's been failing more and more. We have backups, don't worry. It's the server's gone down for it's gone to sleep. So it's being replaced. The guys that run it are pretty great about it. So
Yep.
it should come out pretty soon. It's the same with Adium and Colloquy. So with after .7.5, Growl is going to have a release called 1.1 because 1.0 for Growl would conflict with anybody running Growl 0.5. The version number in 0.5 is called 1.0.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we figured we'd just skip that whole mess and call it 1.1 and be done with it.
Yep.
With 1.1, we'll have positioning. We'll have a new display called Nano. We might have something called GrowlTunes plugin that would control iTunes with the GrowlTunes would no longer be something monitoring iTunes. It would be built in as a plugin.
Okay.
You can control it with a hotkey, that sort of thing. And it really it would eliminate a lot of problems we've been having with
Well,
it.
if you can make that as good as Syslin keys, then I can dump that preference pane as well, and I'll just go to crawl.
Yeah, that's we're actually going to add RSS feed reader, and we decided not to. There's a couple other things, but the most important bit is the positioning. Every single user that seems to use Growl wants to move the notification from the right side of the screen to the left or the top or the bottom. And really the problem with that is that that's great, but we also want to use two notification styles at once. Right now, if you use smoke and use bubbles at the same time, they overlap. So this will fix that problem. It'll fix positioning, and it'll fix the fact that if you have 5, 10, 15 notifications in a row, it'll go under the screen. It'll fix that too. It'll just go move it over to
Oh,
the next
great.
column and start it from there. So you won't lose the notifications anymore.
Yep.
It really fixes a lot of problems.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to add one or two smaller developer tips too, but you'll have to listen to the show to get those out of me.
Okay.
My way of publicizing the podcast.
The other stuff that I see in the future for me is Adium 1.0. It's gonna rock people's pants off. It's really good. AIM file transfer should work in a lot more places than it does. It's really we know file transfer is pretty bad. So yeah, people that have crashing problems on Intel machines that use MSN, that'll fix it as
Okay.
well. That sort of thing. It's something you have to try. I'm going to make a blog post pretty soon with an overview of everything. So if people monitor the ADM blog, they'll see it. So yeah, that Parian, it'll have MKV support. And then South of Torrey Software, we're going to have it's Evan Schoenberg and myself. So the lead on Adium, the lead on Growl, and we're going to have a lot of kind of neat software. The first one we're going to have is a genealogy application called Family, and the intent is for a simple way to create a family, tell the family story, rather than just map it out. You can tell each person's story. It's really nice. I've got a family tree that's like 200 people. I've been using it on it.
Whoa.
It's yeah.
I had a listener from America sending me a mail lately saying, "Oh yeah, Belgium. Well, my grandfather comes and then he names like a very, very small village very close to where I come from." And it's like, "Huh?" But of course, with American people, you get that a lot, people who immigrated from Europe to America. So
Yep.
I can guess that it's a bit more difficult for you to get that whole family tree together. And it's a
Yeah,
nice
it's
app. You'll have to, or I'll check it out. So could you repeat the name of the company? Because I kind of missed that.
South of Torrey Software. Our website is kind of in it's being built right now. But it's SALTATORY dot com.
Oh. Great. So I'll check that site once in a while and see how things go so I can hop on the review bus.
Definitely.
Okay, well, Chris, I thank you for this interview. Where should I point all the people to if they want to learn something more about Grawl, you in person, or the whole development team? Because of course the application is made by lots and lots of other people I have seen on the site. That would be where?
Growl.info is growl like a dog and dot info. The team page is growl.info/team. There's an ungodly amount of people that have worked on Growl. Not all of them are listed either. If you want to know more about me, my homepage is broken.org, BROKN3N.org, or you can email me chris.growl.info.
Okay. Well, thank you for the interview, and I wish you lots of luck with your new ventures and of course that the applications that you are working on right now. I have to check Adium. I've used it once a long time ago, but I'm going to dig that up again and see what that does. And anyway, I thank you for the interview.
No problem, and thank you for your time.
Okay, so that's it for the interview. I really hope you enjoyed it. I'll be doing some more of these in the future. I'll talk to you next week. Keep loving those apps. Bye.